The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Hey, welcome back to Mission Minded. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry here on the TKR app. Of course, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week wherever you get your favorite podcast. Watch it right here on our YouTube channel. And Michael's also come on our TV show a couple of times as well with the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They do wonderful work on ABC 3340. This week, I want to talk about something that's very topical, and I love this idea. We were talking about Iran firing off, I guess, what was close to 100 drones or something at Israel.
A total of three, if you count missiles and drones and everything, it was about 320 is the last count.
That's crazy. And the fact that other countries knew that this was coming, and it's transparency in warfare. It happens a lot. You certainly want to let your allies know, hey, listen, we're about ready to do this because we don't want you to freak out. And obviously, by having that information, not doing anything, it would also mean that you are an ally in that particular case. And so you kind of wanted to talk about what's important as far as in transparencies in the workplace. I will say this, and maybe because you are a military man.
Yeah.
Could you explain to me the one thing that Donald Trump did that I actually kind of liked, and maybe we are doing this at a much higher level, but it just doesn't feel like it. Why do we always feel like we have to tell everyone what we're doing strategically from a war policy? Why do we have to share that we're sending $800 million in military assistance to Ukraine? Why do we say, hey, we're going to wait 3 more days and then we're going to bomb the hell out of this place? Can you tell me logistically speaking, why we do that? And are we transparently throwing out that trial balloon, as you mentioned, in hopes to maybe get a bite and see how they react to it?
Yeah. So it's a little bit of all the above. I know that sometimes when, Sunday talk shows come around and it's heavily political, of course, everything was about Iran and Israel and Gaza and the Middle East blowing up. And I heard it one time, I heard it a million times that, you know, the president's, he's trying to send a message that he does not want to be a part of making things worse. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, then sometimes you blurt out operational information like, well, there's under no circumstances are we going to be offensive or provide offensive support if Israel decides to attack Iran directly. And so then people start saying, well, even if that were the case, why would you want to put that out there? Because if Iran... And that means Iran doesn't have to prepare for that. Iran doesn't have to. So in some regards, you're helping your enemy be better prepared for what's coming because you're just drawing a very clear picture. On the other hand, it can help reduce the anxiety because if the president didn't speak on those things and he didn't assure the Americans, and he just left it to everybody to, you know, the Sunday talk people to get out there and ask that question. And then the administration doesn't answer that question. Then people start wringing their hands and go, okay, is this going to turn into the next World War III? I mean, people are already asking that question because you've got the tensions with, you know, Russia and Ukraine, then stuff coming out about China's enabling Russia, you know, first of all, buying all the oil that they can, but also enabling them to build some more weapons. And mm-hmm. In other words, just providing them support, just like we were Ukraine. Then you get into these other Arab countries. I heard some of the questioning yesterday about, you know, their airspace was violated. And so when Iran sent those missiles, they had to send that through Jordan's airspace, through Syria's airspace, through Saudi's airspace. And was that approved and who knew it and what did, you know? So lots of times when it's delicate situations, you tend to want to communicate certainly behind the scenes, but But sometimes if you're trying to send a public message and you're trying to calm either you're trying to slow down the criticism, or you're trying to you have another purpose in mind, and sometimes that's just not articulated, you will kind of play your hand. Your cards are not as close to the vest as otherwise. They're more out in the open. And, you know, I remember years ago when Desert Storm happened, and I was in Desert Shield and Desert Storm, but I remember the Saturday Night Live skits where they had Schwarzkopf up there, and they were like, well, can you tell us which beachfront the next amphibious assault will be coming from? And he's like, no, I can't get into that information. And he says, I can't talk. Please don't ask me any questions. Okay, well, can you say which air squadron is going to come in and from, you know? So it was the ridiculousness of trying to take classified information. But there's all sorts of purposes. Sometimes you strategically link, and that's what the trial balloon you and I were talking about before the show started. You strategically want to leak something out to the public and to see, is it wholeheartedly rejected by both sides? What's the feedback on it? Do some people go, oh, that's a potential good idea? And so you get this public discussion going, and then you can you have deniability. If it's a total flop, you can say, I don't know where that came from. We never made an announcement that we were going to do X, Y, and Z. But if it's something that gets a lot of favor, then they feel more safe to come out in the public because they're not revealing something brand new. So communications and strategy behind it is really a pretty remarkable thing. But when you're talking about wartime and laying out your cards, there's certainly different rules of thumb that Republicans use versus what Democrats tend to use.
Yeah, and I know if we want to go back to World War II, I mean, the Nazis and Hitler, they were some of the best at propaganda and getting words out about, we thought they had a lot more troops in one area in particular of Europe than they did. And you know, we did it in Vietnam where we hid speakers in trees. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to do that. Let me ask you.
Well, and the whole D-Day was successful because we convinced Hitler.
Yeah.
That we were coming to another beachfront.
So, and point me in a different direction if I'm wrong here. When we say this and we take this war angle and we put it into a business model, and let's say we're making jelly rolls and we're trying to compete against the jelly roll place across the street. When you're trying to be transparent, it almost feels like a point of desperation when you start letting out some, it's not letting out your secrets, but what do you mean being transparent in the business world? I guess is a question.
Yeah. And so, you know, I will confess that I'm somebody who tends to be more transparent in the things that they do, but you could have an industry secret, for instance, as to, or you may have come onto a marketing niche. It could be a marketing software, and it could just be the way you're messaging that's appealing to people of certain demographics. So it could be the way you're selling jelly rolls or widgets or whatever it is, but you've tapped into a certain range of people, or you've tapped into a family dynamic, or you've tapped into a political, whatever it is. Those are all sorts of things that maybe it took you years to be able to navigate. And so you've kind of got these industry secrets that you've learned. And so you don't want to share with people across the street. You don't want to share with everyday people. But then again, you also have certain things that you might want to strategically have discussions with and other businesses, you know, whether it's a business associations or all that. So you're really wrestling with, how much information do I protect? What is I want to be a part of maybe a business association, or I want to be part of a group, and I want to be, so therefore I have to bring something to the table. I have to bring my own experience, my own shared experience. And so in doing so, you do give away trade secrets. And so you have to always navigate, you know, how much do I reveal? Now, and it even gets more complicated when you're talking about employees that you have within a company. Because think about this. how often you as a business leader, you're trying to decide, hey, I'm looking at the writing on the wall and say, you know, my business may not make it past another year. And so you don't want to put that out to employees.
Sure.
Because employees now have a disincentive to work, or they're going to be out trying to find another job and using every opportunity they can to do that. They're not going to be focused on growing a company if they think that the owner knows it's going downhill. But then again, there are other times where you might want to, if you're going to have some growth or if you're going to do something and it is the right timing, you might want to bring that along because that's exciting and it may rejuvenate employees. So there's not a hard and fast rule, but it's just important for people to understand the business community. And look, I face this both in the business community, but in the nonprofit community as well. Because there's lots of competition in the not-for-profit space. Lots of times you're fighting for the same dollars. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you don't want the other nonprofit to thrive. You do. But you just know everybody's not going to thrive with the limited dollars that's available. And so you want to put your best foot forward. And so we're always looking for industry secrets. We're always looking for the latest tech that gives us an edge. Again, not to hurt the other guy, not to put down what they're doing, because nonprofits are, for the most part, are all doing wonderful work. But, you know, I want to help people be successful, but I also want to put our organization first. And again, it's just a dynamic that wherever you are, it's always how much do I reveal? How much of a team player do I be? And really, that all boils down to really coming to terms with, when is it right for me mm-hmm. to reveal? Do I know the benefits? Because some people never talk about anything, and I don't think that's healthy either.
Yeah.
But I think you have to decide when's the right time for me to step forward with information for the good of my stakeholders, you know, my customers, my employees, people who may invest in me and my business, my own family, all those kind of things. But also understanding that with every bit of revelation, there's risk associated.
You see Anchorman 2?
Oh yeah.
The end of it. That's what radio was when I first got into radio in the 70s and 80s. It was as competitive as a business that there was. We'd show up at other radio stations' remotes. We'd pull their plugs.
Yeah.
I remember pouring pitches of water on someone's generator. I mean, it was all out. I mean, you were going to ruin the other radio stations that they would set up early, and you were going to do everything you could just to destroy their business. It got really mean in the hand. It really was. It was a lot of fun. And a lot of things, you know, we tell a lot of stories too about each other because the thing is we're radio stations, right? We're there to actually advertise what we do. So we have our own advertising platform to talk about what we're going to do, this particular thing.
Yeah.
But there were also people in my program directors. I always, and it was funny because I always had program directors. I always had them. They were always extremely offensive. And I mean, in an attackful way, they were always wanting to do something. And it didn't matter whether it was going to work or not. This week, we're going to shake the cage. This week, we're going to shake this market up and we're going to do something. It doesn't have to be April Fool's to shake up the market. Or we would have bosses that would play extremely defensive. They would just basically sit back. Hey, we've got our 3 or 4 share. We know what we're making. We know we're not going to be making $4 million a year, but we're also going to be able to write our checks every week. And so let's just be happy. And I think that's where basically all of radio is right now. I think it's all just playing defensive. As long as we get our jobs and there's no pink slips, don't change anything. We don't want to. It really has. You know this. You've been buying radio your entire life. So as an owner of a business or a CEO, Where do you stand on being offensive, being defensive? Can you be both? From a strategy standpoint, I think in sports, everyone loves the attacker. We love when you attack defenses. We love that. Of course, you have to have the resources to pull off a successful attack.
Right.
And for the most part, we always realize when you're playing, you know, that nickel or that you're playing a dime package, you are playing defensive. You're going to give up some scores.
Yeah.
But it's normal because you're up so far. So where do you play in that particular
role? I tend to be on the offensive, with an offensive mindset, which oftentimes requires me to reveal more information than at times I'd like to. But here's what I found is I feel like it's so important to trust people with information. And where I get into trouble sometimes is I process out loud. And so if somebody doesn't know that about me and I'm just processing, in other words, I'm thinking through, oh, well, this might be a good idea. Oh, this might be a good idea. Somebody might hear that and go, oh, well, here's the next thing we're going to do. And I'm just thinking it out. I may reach a conclusion that goes, oh, no, we can't do that. But I think what I've been able to do is find the right times and the right amount of information to share with individuals. And I found that it builds trust with employees because I'm telling them something that I don't tell necessarily everybody in the organization. So I'm giving them information and that helps build trust. But I have found that when employees come to work and you've eliminated the grapevine, so to speak. In other words, they're not dependent on going around and what's the whisper campaign about everything. You've just come out with the information that just overall employee satisfaction rises. Because even if you're going to do something with a company that the employees don't like, you're still empowering them with information, and now they feel more in control to be able to make a decision. Do I want to stay with this company? Do I want to move? Is this the right place for me? But now they can make it because you've put the right information out. Now, I will tell you where it's mostly, most of the time, has come back to bite me, and that is when you put a lot of information out, and you start to walk it through. So let's say there's 5 points to this information, whatever it is, this plan to grow, this plan to whatever. And you go, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And it's all crystal clear at the time. And people give you the north and south head nod. Yep, I got it. It makes sense to me. But then they go out. And then you have those that didn't. Well, I heard this. Well, I heard this. And so then you start getting into misinformation because you can't know how each person heard it. You know what you meant when you said it. But when you start giving out lots of information, you'll have three people that come together and swore you said something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't remember that. I just remember this. And the reality is they're each of them could be telling the truth. They're not trying to misrepresent. That's just what they heard of what you said. And so people say, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to keep it all to myself to the last minute. But then you're sacrificing the trust building. You're sacrificing the employee satisfaction. And just as a side note, one of the things I don't mind, I think it's healthy, is if I tell you I'm going to do something, if you don't know what I plan to do, and let's say I fail to do it, then there's no accountability there.
Yeah.
But if I tell my employees, I'm going to work to give you a 3% cost of living raise this year, then, and I don't do it, then they're like, hey, this is what you said. So your own credibility is on the line. But so I think that's a positive. Now, some people may look at it as, well, yeah, then I got to go back and account for that. But I think accountability is healthy. It's important. And we should have that as leaders. We should have that aspect of anyway that, hey, I went and I was fighting for 3%. The most I could get from the board was 2%, whatever. This is where we are. But if you put it out there, that's what you're striving for. You know, you have to come back and give a result.
As an employee, how far down that snake hole do you want to stick your nose? We've all worked for corporations. I work corporations at 80,000 employees. I work corporations at 16 employees. And you start to hear tricklings of whether it's stuff on the internet or, oh, wow, this company doesn't like three-man shows. So everyone has got a three-man show. Looks like we're going to have a two-man show. Next thing you know, that rumor starts going around. Well, who's going to, and next thing you know, they're breaking up shows and nothing ever happens. Are we being sold? Are we going public? All these different things that are happening. And for me, I've got a job to do. That's to entertain people on the radio. My job isn't to worry about, you know, IPOs and what the company's going to be doing with, you know, a morning show in Tupelo. I've got to do my thing. I'm going to do my, keep my side of the street clean as much as possible. But how important is it as an employee to show your interest in obviously what's going on in this company? Because you don't want to lose your job. You know, I can only imagine the people on Twitter or Instagram or whoever, they just laid off a bunch of people again, I think in Instagram again, and they found out like 3 weeks early that 20,000 people are going to lose their jobs. Well, you start finding out about things about your job and you're reading about it on the bottom line of ESPN. It's not necessarily a nice feeling.
Right.
How much should you want to know about your business you're working for? I guess that's what I ask.
Yeah. So it's two schools of thought again with most things. Some people, when I look at a workforce, and our workforce here is just like most workforce, the people who move up in life, who are your higher level executives or your higher level salesmen or whatever it is, it's because they have certain abilities that maybe other people do not have. It's not a character flaw of those who don't have it, but you tend to promote and rise up those who can do things like take concepts and be flexible and understand bigger pictures and operate within that space. And that's a talent and a great quality to have. So like at my director level, I might be transparent with my director level because they could take some good news or bad news and still move forward. Other people may not have the experience yet, or they may not be at that level. And so it's too much information. It's overload. It creates great anxiety for them. Now, I will tell you, going back, I think I've used this before, but one of the things I learned in the military was that if you were a unit and you were going to go out and create or attack someplace, and this was the objective, was to get this hill over here, then you would want to share that objective with literally everybody in the organization. And the reason for that was, and what makes one of the things that makes the American Army so strong, is if we were attacked or we started, all your leaders get killed and everybody gets spread out on the battlefield, everybody can still operate the mission, even in the chaos of war, because everybody knows what the mission is.
Yeah.
If you don't share information, then when things start going bad, you know, people don't know what to do. Now, it's not a perfect analogy because, you know, your business is not a battlefield where your leaders are going to get taken out. But I will tell you this. I have found that I like to give as much information about the bigger picture as people at even the entry level can withstand, because if they see a bigger picture, if they understand this food bank exists because there's kids in our community who are going to bed hungry, then even if they're cleaning the warehouse floor or they're moving boxes, they're doing it with a sense of pride, a sense of ownership, rather than I just bring them out there and show them a bunch of tasks and say, hey, I need you to sweep this. I need you to mop this. I need you to... You put it contextualizes what they're doing and adds purpose and meaning to it. And that's what I like to do. When you can do that without overwhelming them with maybe statistics or are we gonna have to cut this year, we're not gonna get raised this year, and you go on and on and you get into all the depending on how much we raise, depending on how much food we distribute, all those kind of things. So again, you're right back to the same thing, which is it's not an either or, you know, it's not a right or wrong. It's probably both. And you have to have the wisdom as a leader to try to find where that right balance is and what we distribute to people.
Michael, great stuff, man. Let's do it again next week. Of course, we always take your emails. We haven't done some emails. Let's do those next week. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. Thank you, sir.
Have a great week, everybody.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.